Today is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and it also marks the first of 16 days of action against gender-based violence, which is an international campaign against gender-based violence. As part of this, 3CR will be dedicating segments every day until December 10th. This Saturday, the 23rd of November, Coburg Town Hall hosted Voices from the Front Lines of the Climate Crisis, a mob-led panel discussion as part of the Middle Arm Roadshow. Community members, organizations, and traditional owners have teamed up to bring an urgent message down south, which with calls to end gas expansion in the territory, and in particular, the $1.9 billion tax-funded federal government project to develop a so-called sustainable development precinct in Middle Arm at Darwin Harbour. You'll be hearing more about the Middle Arm Roadshow events here on 3CR throughout the week. However, today to kick off our coverage of 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, we wanted to highlight this powerful response during the Q&A session, which speaks to some of the root causes of issues like over-incarceration and gender-based violence affecting Northern Territory communities. So now we'll be hearing from Miluma May, a Dangalamba Kalumbirigan Tiwi community organizer, and Milawonga Werben, a Rembanya traditional owner, healer and artist, responding to an audience question about systemic issues arising from the Howard government's 2007 Northern Territory intervention and how they link to government and corporations' exploitation of their countries.
We believe that's why they put the intervention in, to contribute to allowing these projects to happen more efficiently. The intervention is, again, intentional and absolutely architectured and designed to destroy our people. But what it has done is just like tried to destroy our spirit and how we connect to our country, the ongoing stealing of children from their families and from their country, stopping our children speaking their languages and dancing their song lines. The intervention was absolutely designed to then allow it to be easier for them to then frack the NT or put Middle Arm up, because then our communities have been so damaged by the intervention. We're living with it today. Everything that you see in the NT now, with how our young people and children are, with the rates of family and domestic violence, with our alcoholism and drug sufferers, all come from the intervention. And our communities are still recovering. I think I always imagine it like in a boxing match, and like when someone's been hit and punched and like your vision goes blurry and ears are ringing and you're kind of falling in slow motion. For me, I see that's the state that our people are in at the moment. We're like mid-fall, and so we're not able at the moment yet to realise what's happening. And I kind of want us to like hit the ground so then we can like wake up and get into the place of being mobilised and active. But the intervention has done a number on us.
Thank you, Millie. Yes, it has taken quite a big impact on our people. I mean, I remember I was one of the spokeswomen for my community, which is southeast of Catherine, called Wogala. And when they came roaring in with all these armies and so forth, with all our North Force indigenous people driving this government into our community. And so I was there talking to them, but we weren't going to let them, you know, take control of us easily. A lot of our women with children, you know, were taken away because they wanted to check all of the community children to see if they were in any, you know, sexual assault and all that. Now, that's very insulting. Anyway, they went back. couple of years after that, they had stopped, because our community has always had a club, you know, a recreational club for workers to come, you know, and drink and so forth. So they had moved their drinking place, which was like just outside of the community, and this happened with all of the communities. So they pushed it up to the Central Arnhem Highway that goes into all the way to Gove and into our communities. So a lot of our mob who went there and drank, you know, with all these other tribal groups, a lot of them died, actually, because a lot of them had, you know, when they are drunk, they don't know where they're sleeping. A lot of them were, you know, slept on the bitumen road. It's a one-way road, and we've been asking for a two-way road, you know, for many moons. Anyway, a lot of our mob had died, both males and females, a husband and wife. And of course, they had built a shed, but no water tanks for the people staying there to drink water. And there was no floor on the ground where they could sit. A lot of the people were infected with maladosa, and a lot of them died. They rushed them to Royal Darwin Hospital, and they died. And so all of these things that the intervention came with the Northern Territory government, they never saw all of these things that were taking place at that moment. All this death, for what? Just for the sake of intervention. You know, we don't do that with our law. Our law stays the same. We do not change the laws. So we were sort of, you know, amazed too and shocked to hear that they had changed that. You know, instantly, is this the government that we are all serving in this nation? They've done enough in the beginning when they first came and took over our country. The other thing too is now we have all the community people staying in town. This is Catherine I'm talking about. And not only that, they've introduced, you have to have an ID so that you can buy alcohol, you know, from a bottle or a shop. These countrymen will come and ask for other people to buy their grog. And furthermore, we have all the countrymen now living in Darwin. And there are so many there, and a lot of death has occurred, you know, with accident, stabbing, everything. It's the same with Catherine. The highest rate we have in Catherine is of women dying. It is the highest rate that we have in small Cape Town. And not only that, the Bonnichel Strongbowler woman now, we've been working with Territory Family. We work with Territory Family. So we have a group, the special group, that goes to see the need of the mothers, you know, when the child has been taken back to the mother and father and the whole family. But this has been going on for so long. I was given back a granddaughter, my older brother's granddaughter, our granddaughter. She's now 17. She leaves me next year. She's going to go back to stay with our families. Her mother died while she was still with the Territory Family people. She locked herself up in this room, you know, and they all had to come and get me to go knock on the door and tell her, it's me, and Nana, open the door. So she would lock herself up and never attended school. They never woke her up, you know, so that she would have that routine of getting up early, getting ready, you know, preparing herself to go to high school. So she's lost all that sense now. So she is still with me, and they will say, you know, under their law, or once she's 18, she will go. I won't let that. She is still going to stay with me. It doesn't matter what. Now, that's the next of kin that the government had brought, you know, as part of their territory family policy, the next of kin. All of our next of kin, we weren't involved. It was other people, you know, from different ethnic groups and Balanda people, non-Indigenous people that took care of our children. And as we speak now, as I am speaking now, they are having a hearing on a young girl that was at the same time with both of my granddaughters. The other one now, she's free from territory family. The other one, she's with me still. But there was a young girl who died in this home, the Casper Homes for Girls. Then we have the Casper Homes for Boys. They are having hearing there. Why did they not attend to this girl who was not mentally stable? That is a question we need to ask them. Are they looking after our children the way we want them? It is no wonder a lot of our families would say, oh, I don't trust that mob. You don't know what they're going to do. Another little child got burnt, and the families who were looking after them, looking after those children, they fled to Adelaide, the carers, the foster parents. And that's nothing. There's even more. I could go on and on and on and on. And still the government won't take heed. So this is where we stand up. And in our yarning circles, we deal with issues such as this. Drugs and alcohol, domestic violence, issues with young people now breaking and entering in our township, smashing glass, you know, in our supermarket, smashing the glass for taxi drivers that are going home. So they had to find a way to take people home, you know, because they are afraid that their glass might be smashed. Well, why? Why are these young people doing that? These are little boys like this high, and they use the little ones to get in, to sneak in, because they're small. Why are they doing this? It's because they don't sit and find the root problem of these homeless children. Police are there immediately, pick up those children. And guess what? There's a new law that I put in Darwin. Maybe it's for all over Australia, I don't know. A little boy that will break in and do all these such things, from 10 years, they will be locked up in Don Dale detention. 10 years old. Now, that is still a baby. You know, so we're still fighting all of this. So it is very sad. And this started with what? With the intervention. You know, when they introduced that the 9-year, what do they call it now, Millie? Yeah, 10-point plan. You have 9 years, you know, they are going to rule that community. Another community had 5 years and so forth. And guess what? That was actually having an access over the country. So we can do whatever we want on the surface of the country, go and hunt, you know, go and hunt for food, fish, but anything that's down below the earth belongs to the government. Says who? You know, our government, all of the government in all of the different states, you know, you should be thankful and grateful to our people, honestly speaking. Because we have these other people that are opposite us, the traditional healers. These are the people that can actually cast spell on you politicians. Hi, aren't you afraid of that? Lucky you have us here. But our protocols between the people that does black magic and with the traditional healers like me, we have our own protocol. We do not go against those that we acknowledge and respect, like the government. For example, we see them as elders, like our elders. So that should, you know, make you aware that you should be very grateful and thankful that those other party aren't attacking you. Otherwise, none of you would be sitting in the Parliament House. Thank you. Did that answer your... Okay, thank you.
Welcome back to the Monday Breakfast Show. That was Melilma May, a Dangalaba Kalumbirigan Tiwi community organizer, and Milawanga Werben, a Rembanya traditional owner, healer, and artist, responding to an audience question about systemic issues arising from the Howard government's 2007 Northern Territory intervention. And they were speaking at this Saturday's Voices from the Front Lines of the Climate Crisis, which was a mob-led panel discussion as part of the Middle Arm Roadshow. You'll be hearing more about the Middle Arm Roadshow events here on 3CR throughout the week. However, today we wanted to kick off our coverage of 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence with this powerful response during the Q&A session, which... spoke to some of the root causes of issues like over-incarceration and gender-based violence affecting Northern Territory communities. If that affected you, if any of that content affected you, you can call 13 Yarn at 92 13 92 76. It's a national phone service operated 24/7 by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander crisis supporters, as well as Yarnin Safe and Strong at 1800 959 563.